Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Osprey Medical Quarterly Investor Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mike McCormick. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Osprey Medical's quarterly results call for the period ending 31st of March 2019. Earlier today, Osprey Medical released its Appendix 4C for the first quarter of 2019. I would like to update you on these results and the growth of our business throughout the quarter. Before diving into the details, I wanted to give you a quick summary of the key highlights of the quarter. DIVERT unit sales of 2,478 units was up 73% versus prior corresponding period. Quarterly revenues were $826,000, and that was up 56% versus PCP. The DIVERT unit sales of 2,145 units was up 56% versus the prior corresponding period, and cash receipts of $854,000 was up 70% versus the prior corresponding period. We ended the quarter with a strong balance sheet of $20.1 million on March the 31st of  2019. It was a very successful commercial period for Osprey, and it marked our 18th consecutive quarter of revenue growth since we started commercializing in the United States. Our core commercial strategy of a direct sales force remains unchanged. We feel it is the best way to introduce new technologies like DIVERT that fills an unmet clinical need, like making coronary angiograms, a common heart procedure, safer for patients with poor kidney function. Introducing new medical devices in the United States is certainly not automatic, but we're proud of the 18 quarters of growth that we've had, and we're excited that the sales team, including our reps, clinical specialists, and sales managers that we have in place, are going to continue to drive our future growth. For the remainder of my comments, I will detail some of the accomplishments of our direct sales force in the quarter and highlight some of our key programs, like our GPO contracts, that are aimed at accelerating our future growth. So first off, on some of the key results from Q1, we had strong unit sales growth and stable selling prices, and strong cash conversion. DIVERT unit sales in Q1 were at 2,145, which was up 16% versus the prior quarter, versus Q4 of 2018, and 73% versus PCP. When you look at all units, that includes the DIVERT, the DITECT, and syringes. In Q1, we were at 2,634 units, which was up 73% over PCP. In November of last year, so in the fourth quarter of last year, we launched the DIVERT Plus EZ, our newest product to the franchise. And this was its first full quarter of sales, and it represented 59% of the total DIVERT unit volume. That shows the really strong market acceptance of this new innovative product that is easier to prime. It takes our priming from about 2 minutes down to seconds with the new product. At the end of the first quarter, we had 140 hospitals who had purchased the DIVERT, and that was up 23% versus the prior corresponding period. We continue to focus our sales reps on driving deeper in open accounts, and that was demonstrated by 98% of our sales revenues in the quarter coming from existing purchasing hospitals versus 2% from new hospitals, first-time orders in the quarter. Also, we focus our sales reps on looking at new hospitals who are members of contracted GPOs. At the end of the first quarter, we had 20 hospitals that were in the sample-to-purchase pipeline, with the vast majority of those being contracted GPO hospitals. That represents an 18% increase in our pipeline versus the trailing quarter. Turning to revenues, revenues in the quarter were at $826,000. It was up 56% versus prior corresponding period. It wasn't as high as our unit growth, but that's due to GPO fees, not being attributable to the previous year, and the mix of DiTech and DiSyringes in the previous year versus the current period. Our U.S. average selling price prior to administration fees for the Divert was $355 for the quarter, a very stable selling price for the last 2 years on the Divert at between $350 and $360. Cash receipts were at $854,000 in Q1. That was up 70% versus prior corresponding period. Net cash used in operating activities was $5.1 million for the quarter. That was up 15% versus PCP versus the prior corresponding period, and it was up 33% versus trailing quarter. That was up so much versus trailing quarter because it reflected inventory builds to match the ongoing demand of our product. Also, some one-off things such as annual bonuses that are paid in the first quarter. We also had regulatory consulting fees around some of the changes in regulatory environment that exists outside of the United States, the switch from the MDD directive in Europe to the MDRD directive. We had some facility improvements that included warehouse expansion and sterilization expansion. And then we also had a national sales training meeting in the first quarter. These were temporary increases relative to Q4, and we expect future quarters' operating expenses to moderate and future quarter sales to continue to grow. We ended the quarter with a strong balance sheet with no debt at U.S. $20.1 million. Now I want to turn a bit to the GPOs and talk about how we've done with that strategy. In calendar year 2018, Osprey announced that we had four contractual relationships with multi-hospital systems called GPOs. In November, we announced a contract with one of the very large GPOs that's named Premier. It's one of the largest in the United States, and they have 4,000 hospitals under their banner. As previously advised to the market, securing these GPO contracts has been a key part of our growth strategy. And during this quarter, we've seen unit sales from all products attributable to GPO contracted hospitals grow rapidly. We had 1,374 units attributable to GPOs in the period. That was up 158% versus prior corresponding period. And these sales to GPOs represented 62% of our total volume versus 40% in the prior corresponding period. We continue to have ongoing conversations with additional GPOs outside of the four that we already have contracted, and we do expect additional contracts to be signed in calendar year 2019. Next, for the sales force. In the quarter, we had 18 sales reps and 8 clinical specialists. That's 26 people that are focused. There are customer fronting people that are focused on expanding our business and our commercial strategy on a daily basis. The effectiveness of the 26 customer-facing sales force continues to improve, with average sales per field rep in Q1 at 101 units, and that's up 66% when you compare it to the prior corresponding period, which was at 61 units. This gives you a quick overview of our results in the first quarter and our growth strategies that we have. I would now like to open up the call for any questions that anybody has that may be on hold.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. We will pause briefly to allow questions to enter the queue. Your first question comes from Ian Hyde, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mike. Ian Hyde, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks, Ian.
That's good. Look, thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple. I didn't think I'd be first in the queue, but has there been any churn with any accounts quickly?
We are always looking at the number of accounts that we have and how much churn that we've got. So we have 140 accounts that have purchased our products. We continue to enjoy very, very low churn Turn for us is somebody that doesn't order within a 6-month period. It's very low, and if we do lose someone, a lot of times it's due to lower volumes in their account. For example, a physician will move to another area, or it could be something like they're trying to standardize hydration method across their facility, and they would slow down usage of ours until they get hydration in place. But it continues to be very low. We continue to have strong buying across the board from the accounts who've purchased in the past.
Sure. Okay, thanks. Jumping around a bit, back to the clinical data that was presented at the ACC presentation back in March. The headline was a 75% reduction in AKI, where they were, the modelling, I think if I remember, said that they were looking at maybe 13 to 18%. With that, if I also remember, the head of that, trial or test, he was with Ascension. Is that correct? And if that's the case, what can you say about the strength of that test results or trial results and getting the foot in the door to Ascension, because they're different to a GPO in that it's a group as opposed to the GPO model, and so that could potentially look at standardizing the protocols around the device and AKI, et cetera?
First off, thank you very much for the question. And I appreciate that you read the press releases that we put out on the ACC annual meeting. You are right. That was an outstanding result that was published, and it was published by the Methodist Metropolitan System in San Antonio. They demonstrated a 75% reduction by using a comprehensive Be Kind to Kidney campaign, lowering AKI rates, using our products as a part of that by 75% versus the prior period when they hadn't had that in place. That hospital is actually an HCA hospital. It's actually not a Vizient hospital, it's HCA. That does well for us. Back to your question, does that have some other impact for you with the rest of the group? It definitely does. It's got a powerful group opportunity for us with the rest of HCA. So we are using that tool with the rest of HCA. Just in addition to that one paper, there was a second paper that was also published at that meeting. That one showed a 66% reduction in AKI, and that was by a premier hospital that had used our products and seen a 66% decrease in their AKI rates. Having Premier and HCA both represented is powerful for us.
Okay, so in that regard, as a layman, can you use those results out of those respective hospital groups in your general marketing and for any other hospital or group as well, or they tend to be quarantined just for that group of hospitals?
All of them. It's a really good question. All of them. We use it for everybody. That's become a primary selling tool for us. In fact, there's been four papers, just to be clear. We've made a specialty marketing piece, as you might imagine, a sales piece. There's been four publications on AKI reduction using our products from hospitals. Two of them were last year, 25 and a 22% reduction, and then the two that just came out at the ACC, a 75 and a 66%. We have all four of them on one sales sheet. And we can talk to the differences of the protocols. Why are there differences in results? Well, there's differences in protocols. And the stronger and more stringent your protocol and the more doctors that follow it, the better the results, which is what was evident in the HCA hospital. So definitely we use it as a sales tool for everyone.
Okay, thanks. So aside from that, then, any news or info on the registry progression?
Yes, we do have the registry up and going. We've got hospitals that have approved it through their IRB, and that is a major activity for the company this year. It's also going to produce more publications like this. That's the reason that we're primarily doing that registry, is to produce more and more publications like the ones we just talked about.
Sure. Okay. And I had a question that just left me. Yes, there was only three new hospitals that have signed up in the quarter. It's early days, but that's actually quite a low number in comparative to previous quarters at different times. Is there anything you can talk about with how you see that changing? And I know it's only early days, but with now much of the sales and focus on GPOs, is there any view around how that will speed up insofar as getting your account signed on as opposed to the old bottom-up method in the hospitals?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Thanks for asking. Yeah, we did only have 3 new accounts last quarter, but that's reflective of a couple of different things. First and foremost, when we got the GPO contracts, we went to the accounts that were on GP that we already had open, and we started driving increased penetration. The fastest way to take advantage of the contract is drive increased penetration from the accounts that were already open, and clearly you could see that in last quarter's sales. It was coming from existing accounts. Now, all that said, we also have to focus on opening new. There has to always be this balance between sales to existing customers, penetration of existing, and opening new. So the efforts have now been to focus on new hospitals, ones that are in the GPO mix. And we do have 20 that are in the pipeline that have taken samples. And those in the pipeline, we certainly expect we expect a number of those to clear this quarter. We also had a lot of samples that went out last quarter to those hospitals, and that's also a good sign of that activity. So we do expect that to take place in future quarters. Anybody who's watched our sales sees that it does tend to be a little bit bumpy with new accounts. We'll have a bit of a bolus will come in one quarter, and then there'll be a lot of focus on driving penetration, and it may slow down a little bit, and then it'll pick up again. And we expect that pattern to continue this year.
Sure. And for future reporting, at some point, it would be very interesting to get data as to, with the number of accounts you've got, just what level of penetration you got. I know you can't give that hospital by hospital individually, but as a group or in, say, brackets of hospitals, just what level of penetration you've got, because that would then obviously show to us how much growth there is just still to go or available within existing accounts without having to take on any new ones and so on.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and it's one you probably noticed last quarter when we announced. We actually gave a lot more metrics. So our intent is to, on the half year and full year, give a bit more detail, granular detail, and then on the quarters in between, hit the very most important things, but with a bit more detail at the half and full year. So appreciate that. That's something that we certainly look at for the half year.
Well, thanks. And one last question. Are you, or does the board feel confident in saying that the next quarter could finally be the first $1 million sales quarter?
We certainly are looking forward to that. As you know, that's a milestone for the company. So the growth trajectory looks like it could be there. It's hard to always predict what the future is, but with the momentum that we have, it certainly looks very strong.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'll pause again to allow more questions to enter the queue. Your next question comes from Anoop Kalra, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mike. Just a question on the sales growth and the trajectory. We've been down the GPO kind of path now for 6 to 9 months, and we haven't really seen any acceleration in sales as yet. Could you give us a feel for how you're thinking about whether it's a successful strategy and how you're measuring it, and perhaps a bit more of a feel for the lead indicators that aren't apparent in the numbers?
Sure. It's a good question. So first off, in reference to your question, I would say that, gosh, it was the very first GPO that we announced that we had signed was in May of last year. And then over the course of the summer, or the U.S. summer, the Australian winter, we signed 2 more, and then we signed Premier, the big one, in November of last year.
Yep.
So when you look at our experience really to date with GPOs, we don't even have a year with any of them yet. But if we look at our oldest one, the one that we signed last May, certainly that one is very, very strong, and we do have a lot of traction. It nothing ever takes off as fast as you might expect it does, but the traction is growing where we want it to be. So when I look at where we stand now versus a year ago, gosh, you know, it's 40% of our business a year ago in the first quarter of last year was from accounts that we didn't have a contract with them, but they were in the GPO that we eventually contracted. Mm-hmm. Compare that to today, 62% of the business is in those accounts, and it's up 158%. And that includes Premier that just signed in November of last year, so it's been a short period of time. So in answer to your question, are we pleased with the traction so far from the GPOs? We are. The new accounts don't come on quite as fast as maybe we hoped, but they're not as slow as they're traditional without it. So we are pleased with it, and we know that there are accelerators that will help us, things like the two publications that just came out at in the last month at the ACC from member hospitals showing gigantic reductions in AKI are clearly positive things that will help us to accelerate even faster.
So if you look at the penetration in the GPO accounts, how does that compare to the greater kind of the non-GPO? I'm trying to come up with some metrics because at the end of the day, you know, we still grew at 16%, you know, quarter on quarter, and that's a very good number. But it hasn't shown any acceleration. So, if I was cynical, I'd just say you've taken from new hospitals and switched it into GPOs, but net, as shareholders, we're no better off, and we've given away 5% of sales.
Yeah, so is the penetration greater in the GPOs? Yes, the penetration is greater in the GPOs than the non-GPOs. And it's something that we can look at reporting potentially on a mid-year basis or on a full-year basis.
Yep.
We'll give a bit more advanced details about what's the average sales to a GPO hospital versus the average sales to a non-GPO hospital.
Yep.
So okay. It is higher. It's not something we report on, but it's certainly something that we'll look at for the half-year period.
Okay. But the bottom line is the signs that you're getting from the hospitals that are in the GPOs gives you comfort that this is the right strategy and we should see an acceleration in growth rates.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Brian Tully, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mike. I don't know whether you remember me or not, but we put some money into the company pre-float on the 15th of December 2011. And this question is considerably premature. But have you any idea or have you done any work on when the company will be cash flow positive?
Yeah, thank you, Brian, for the question. And thanks for your long-term watching and investment in the company. So in terms of cash flow positive, it's obviously something that the board is always looking at. As we look toward the future, we see that cash flow positive happens at a revenue basis of somewhere in the $25 million range in revenues creates the company in cash flow positive. And as we start looking at the future and trying to estimate when that would be, we look at sometime in year 2022 is when we expect that to happen.
Thank you, Mike. That sounds great.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. McCormick for closing remarks.
I'd like to thank everybody for joining the call. We look forward to giving you further updates at our AGM meeting that will be coming up on May the 9th. Thank you once again.